Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How's it going over there? I am so happy to be here again this week. Another week, and time's flying by. Wonderful, wonderful weather all over everywhere that most of our listeners listen to. There's some parts of the world that aren't, but right here smack in the middle of summer. So I'm actually on the air today from Nevada. I'm not in Hawaii today. And looking forward to, this is going to be more of an informational show today, so you're welcome to call in. We'd love you to call in if you have any experiences with timeshare or fractional ownerships, questions. Just want to plug in and take it off. So today's going to be about timeshares, fractional ownerships. So of course, this is mainly in the U.S., but they're also, well, they've got, this happens all over the world. We're going to go over what timeshares are, how they work, pros and cons, fractional ownerships. And so it's going to be a pretty interesting show, but more informational today. For those of you that are wondering if there's another way to buy, it's good for people that travel or if you want to take family vacations. It's changed drastically. In the old days, timeshares were completely different than the way they're set up now. Just like with anything else, things get better usually with practice. And that's basically because a lot of people have misconceptions about timeshares. And I think today they're just absolutely, I'd say 90-some percent different than what they were, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So call-in number is 347-945-5428, 347-945-5428. I can also email us at radio@realityuniversal.com. And realityuniversal.com, everyone knows it, listens to us. So we've got quite a huge following, actually. Most of our people, listeners, like to listen on your own time, which makes sense. You can always go to realityuniversal.com with any questions from past shows, future, you know, anything you'd like to hear about in the future. Questions, if you need assistance finding a local broker, real estate agent in your area, just go to realityuniversal.com and we'll help you. We are going to take a quick break and come right back and dig in. Timeshares first and then fractional. And this is Natalie Mullinex with Realty Universal Radio. Today we are discussing timeshares and fractional ownerships. the pros and cons, and we'd love you to dig in and call in if you have any questions. 347-945-5428. If you're listening to this on an archive later, please email realtyradio@realtyuniversal or go to our website, realtyuniversal.com. Timeshares, for many people may be familiar or not familiar. Timeshares are when there's blocks you can actually buy. It's kind of similar to vacation ownership, but a little different. It's a program where people share uses of property, and you can buy into it through different developers, different groups, different organizations, and then actually purchase this unit on a time-based interval. So it could be you could purchase it for a week, you know, a few weeks, longer. Sometimes they're weird timeshare weeks. Some people purchase four, so you could actually use it for a month. Prices can vary depending on where you're getting your timeshare. And in the old days, timeshares basically were usually in one area. Literally, you know, you purchase a place, say, in Nevada, or purchase a place in California, and then you'd have to go to that same place every year. Great for families when you're looking for places to go on vacation. And the timeshares, what happens is it's typically a condominium, like kind of hotel-like building unit, and you're going to have one bedrooms, two bedrooms, three bedrooms. So it's like having a home away from home during that time period. And that's basically the way they were set up years ago. Now a lot of timeshare programs are set up where you can actually vacation all over the world and pick different places where you want to go. There's different companies that set up that way, and different ways to structure that. So it's a lot different than, again, how it used to be. So we're going to get into basically there's also a company called RCI where you can buy points. So we've got a lot of things to go over with that, but it's not like people thought in the old days where, oh, I'm going to get into this, I can't get out of it. There's also, you know, it's definitely penciling in the numbers to see how it works or if it does work. There's different types of timeshare programs. Usually you're going to get it 1 week a year, or it could be every other year. There could be also different times. You could have fixed weeks, floating weeks, rotating weeks. You can transfer these. You can switch them over to other people, and which makes it pretty interesting. You can actually do flex time. So as always on our show, we never have time to go over everything, but we like to give you food for thought and information so that you can get out there and check into it again, because people do like to get away. People do like to travel. You can let other people use your timeshare, so you can almost, in the sense, you know, charge them fees to use the unit for that week. Which is also good. You want to know and find out whether a timeshare is a deeded interest or a right to use arrangement. Many of the programs now have deeded interest, and so there's just those questions that you're going to want to go through and find out which way is the best way. There's also vacation clubs. So that's another timeshare and variation. And that's an organization that owns multiple timeshare properties in many locations. And if you're a club member, you can reserve a space at that resort or different resorts. You usually pay annual fees, and then there's initial cost to join. With the deeded interest, you are going to pay for that, and then you're still going to have annual fees. We find that most of these timeshares have maintenance fees that can raise. I mean, when I look at some of the negatives, people have said they were concerned that the maintenance fees keep going up and up and up, and that is something you'd want to look into and see how high it can go. Typically, though, the timeshares, vacation clubs, club memberships, you can sell them. What I found, and of course, is a lot of the companies won't sell it for you. You'd have to find another way to sell it privately or through other people. Then we also have the points program. Points program that you hear about is nice because you actually are purchasing a membership, and then you get a certain amount of points every year. And it's we're going to go into some specific examples of the points in a little bit, but we're going to bring someone on also to go over that and discuss some different uses that actually she's into and that has done for quite a long time. So these point systems, now RCI is one company that offers point systems. You can actually exchange it and use it, which is really nice because you can actually switch around and go where you want to go different times. Very important when you get into these to book your dates way ahead of time because they're very popular and a lot of areas sell out quicker than others. The point programs can be linked into a deeded ownership, or they can be linked into a buy-in, not an ownership, for that specific week. So there's just a lot of different there's different ways that it goes and works into. On the timeshares, Wyndham's a good example of a timeshare company. There's Marriott, Ashton, Hilton, Disney, many, many different companies that offer the timeshare. And we are going to go into some of these details shortly. And then we'll get into fractional ownerships a little bit. I see we have a guest on that's going to talk, that actually has owned the units for a little while, a long while, I guess, and really knows a lot about it. And hello, thank you for coming on today. This is Natalie. Is this Michelle?
Yes. Hi, Natalie.
Thank
you. Good morning.
I am so glad that you came on today because how are you? We were just going over a little bit of the tidbit about what timeshares are, and we haven't gotten into fractional ownerships yet. And I'm so happy to have you on to discuss some of this because you've had timeshares for quite a while. And when did you first purchase yours?
It was back in 2006 was my first purchase, and then I purchased again in 2007. And
okay.
I own Wyndham Point.
And what you have is fantastic because I was just going over a little bit about how the old days, the timeshares 20, 30 years ago, people were stuck in buying. They, well, I don't want to say stuck, but they would buy them and have to use them in one location. They couldn't swap or move around and go to other areas. And then RCI and other companies came about that started offering the point systems. And now it seems like it's just such a wonderful way to travel and use timeshares versus the old days where you were stuck in one area. So can you just tell, because I'm really impressed with Wyndham. Wyndham seems to own quite a lot of properties. And can you just tell us how it works when you go in and you buy, like what you think some of the pros are, because you seem to enjoy it.
Well, when I first bought in Hawaii, and so I was walking around Waikiki, and they caught us and went up and we bought it. Hawaii, and the Hawaii actually has got their point systems, and they have where you go into, if you buy enough points, you go into what's called VIP, and then silver, and then you go into the gold and the platinum, and each one of these steps have got various attributes that you can, that they say are good. That you get, like I get to be able to I get certain amounts of points off when I do it within a 45-day period because I'm VIP. I get certain benefits within the, when on my trip. And there's a whole list of benefits that you get for being VIP. And so they try to sell you at first the VIP basic, which was 308,000 points. And
uh-huh.
then when I'm at the next place, they want to sell you, they try to get you up into the gold status. So we bought enough points to get up into gold, which is where we are now. And,
so when you go, when you go in and you're first purchasing, do you buy it? Did you you had to purchase, do you get a deed to this, or is it strictly points where you just...
Yes, everything is deeded. So it's deeded. Like, so we're deeded into a Hawaii property. When you're deeded into a Hawaii property, there's a couple things you get additional that other Wyndhams don't have. You have access to outrigger hotels, which are not, you don't have that access with any of the other timeshare locations. You also have access, free access, to another exchange program called Trading Places. And so I have two exchange programs that I can use, RCI and Trading Places, that you don't get Trading Places unless you buy a Hawaii property. And
wow. So Okay.
Okay. So.
No, I love it. I love it because it's so different than the old days, because with what you have, you can go anywhere in the world, right? Is that three trading places and
anywhere,
RCI?
Right, because Wyndham properties are basically in the United States and Mexico, basically. Well, and then trading places is also basically in the United States, but RCI is worldwide. So there's a couple Wyndhams that are in Canada also. And then they just also bought out WorldMark. And so there's a bunch of locations of WorldMark now that you can get into.
Wow, this is, you know, it's when you were saying at first you were in Hawaii and they caught us, I guess a lot of people have had that experience, man, when people are trying to get you into these timeshare presentations and they're going to give you free tickets or free dinners or, you know, for lots of different activities, right, to get you in.
We were walking around Waikiki. And they caught us, and I typically don't like getting caught by a sales because being a sales, I can usually tell a sales pitch. I'm like, no. And my husband said, let's go listen to it. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to listen to it, but I'm not buying anything.
Right.
And I'll be darned, like 4 hours later, we're still there.
Oh no! And if you have any, you love it though. You use it. You really actually use the program. Right.
I do love it. I don't love one of the things you did mention, which is every year the maintenance fees just keep going up.
Okay.
And it is one of the tough things about it. And we love it. We travel with it all over the place, and we get to travel actually because we're now VIP Gold. We get, if we travel within the 60-day period, I get 35% off in points, so that means I get to use more of my points in more of my more places, and so I can travel more. And we're really looking forward to this when we retire, especially. It's a little harder when you're in Hawaii trying to get to the mainland and traveling as much as we want to. So we go inter-island a lot, and we get the last and we get the last minute deals because we'll do it in less than 45 days or so, and just hop on over. The mainland trips we like to spend and do it in advance far enough. And
so, how many points do you get? I mean, like, does somebody have to spend quite a lot of? I mean, like, because typically I've heard people buy 1 week, but then more and more people are buying 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So, is that pretty standard that you're going to get 4 weeks, or it's all based on points, right?
Well, it's based on points, yeah. And then when we bought in Hawaii's pricing is much higher, and their point system is higher. So 1 week in Hawaii, and we bought at the Waikiki Beach Walk, 1 week there I believe was going to be 200, you know, for the smallest unit was going to be like 230 to 280, something like that. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Points,
just for the 1 week. And, but when we initially bought, we bought the $308,000, which is the standard, the lowest level to become this VIP, which is what we want. So that's kind of the package they initially started selling. On the mainland, if we go to the mainland, the 308,000 points, we can go to like 5-6 places. There's some places that, well, there's some places that are only 50,000-60,000 for a week. And so if we bounced around on the mainland, we could get a lot more for our 308,000 points. And now we have 500,000 points. So there's
every year.
There's years that we can't figure out what to do with them because we can't get to the main. It's like you want to fly to the mainland and then you want to take three. We actually take 3 to 4 weeks, and then my husband has to get off work and everything. So it's a little bit more difficult when you're retired. We're thinking that we can move around pretty quickly and easily.
Well, 500,000 points, just for what would that cost somebody to get 500,000 our points? And then every year, I mean, like or is it 4 weeks of vacation? Or it's really hard to split it up.
500,000 points in the mainland is a good 5 to 6 weeks of vacations. Here in Hawaii, the 500,000 points are probably, depending on when I get the reservations, are around two to three weeks in Hawaii.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, but what would it cost when someone goes in on the average? Because, I mean, I've had I've sold home properties, and I know people that actually are on the other side selling timeshares, and I was really surprised. Some people are making $300,000 a year selling timeshares, and it looks like with the development cost, they could end up, the developers may spend 50% on putting this together, so mm-hmm. they have to be still making a lot of money or they wouldn't be doing it, right? So if an average person wants to come in and,
They are making a lot of money because the development, if you buy these timeshares off of the internet or off of different places, you don't get any of the benefits that I'm talking about. Like you could be, like I could be right now, I am the VIP gold. But if I go and buy more timeshare off online and I buy another 500,000 points and I become the 1 million, which was the platinum, I don't get any of the platinum benefits. You only get the benefits if you buy the developer points.
Oh, really?
VIP benefits, right. So, like I think it was somewhere around $62,000 or something like that, $65,000 for the 308,000 points. And then
every year it costs you how much just around that?
Well, right now my maintenance fees are around $2,500. And they my maintenance fees are, maintenance fees are $2,582 this year. And,
but with your points, I was just wondering, because it seems like you enjoy it. So 5 to 6 weeks on the mainland, would that include going around the world if you were using the RCI?
Well, RCI costs a fee. So typically the RCI for a one-week exchange is, I believe it's $197. RCI went just recently into a type of a points system to see. Wyndham owns RCI. And so they merged together much nicer now. Before they were more difficult to use, but now I can get into the computer program and I can just get in, and RCI has all my points. And instead of calling them and having to deposit a week like I used to have to do just to ask them a question of, do you have a week for me? And now I just, they have my points, and I can actually do 2 or 3 days even. Or I can do two nights at this location and 4 nights over here at this location rather than even doing a week. But then they have an exchange fee for they'll have an exchange fee for 1 to 3 days, and a higher fee for 3 to 4 days, and then a fee for 5 days, 6 days. So their fees, instead of being the $197 for a week, have been broken down into how many days. So they've really changed that also.
And it sounds like they've changed things for the benefit, or the better. I mean, much, much more for the better. I mean, it seems like, so you've got the Wyndham, Marriott, Hilton, Disney. I mean, there's just so many. Wyndham apparently is tied in with a lot of resorts all around the world, right, through RCI, I would think.
Right, Wyndham is RCI, yeah. Trading Places is I have to deposit. They only take Hawaii properties, too. And so, because that's why I said they're part of a Hawaii, they're an exchange company I get through Hawaii. And I can. I have to exchange a week of one of my Hawaii properties. There's like 7 properties I can put in there.
That sounds really good, because you said sometimes your points, you may not use up all your points. And is that where you could actually sell your points to someone and let somebody else use it, right, pretty much?
Well, because there is so many points that I actually have, and I can't travel as much being over here a lot of times, I do try to have friends of mine, if they need to go someplace, I sell them points. A lot of people, because it's deeded property, there's many people that actually rent out their properties at full price. Like
really?
Like one of these properties go for $300 to $400 a night, depending on the season and how many bedrooms they have. Like a 2-bedroom in Waikiki Beach Walk could go easily for $350 a night. But,
wow.
But when I sell my points to my friends, I actually just do it for the amount of my maintenance fees. But other people can rent these properties out as on rentals, right? And
that's smart. It works
out. Also has a program that you have they'll rent them out for you, but there's a cost there. And if they don't rent your points, then you lose them. So it's there's a lot of things that Wyndham gives you, but they're not necessarily in your best. when you think about the amount of money that you spend for those points in maintenance
right.
fees, I don't want to lose them. So,
right, you want to get, you
I
need to use them, right.
Yeah, so I don't want them to, if I give them a week in the rental program and then they decide that they can't use that whole week or they can't do, then I lose it. Or something. And so there are certain
wow.
things that I've learned over time that I'm not going to use in their programs. But
And then you when they go when you go and they're always saying, well, please, like, you know, do another presentation, and then do you get credit if the people you send go ahead and listen to the presentations or not?
No.
No.
Not anymore.
They just yeah.
I used to they changed the program too, and they changed the program if somebody buys that you used to be able to get a lot more, but now if somebody buys they give you so many points within the Wyndham Rewards. There's another program called Wyndham Rewards, and then they have the Perks program where, you know, they help you. They also have cruising if you want to have cruises. They have
oh,
vacation,
good.
Vacation where you – vacations, planned vacations where you can get into safaris and different places like that.
Really?
And they have rental cars. But anytime I've ever looked at the pricing of some of these, I'm like, okay, my points cost me this much. If I go through Costco.com and I can get my rental car for this price, but I have to give them this many points for my rental car. You know, I calculate everything out. And I just haven't seen that it's in my best interest to use some of these programs. But,
For the points.
Yeah,
it's not that
the cost of what I pay for these points. And the cost of what I get when I put them into these various programs.
Is Costco tied in with that, or is that Costco as an example?
No,
use
I just
instead?
Use Costco to get my rental cars. But
oh, separate. Okay,
that,
so Costco is separate. Costco has some phenomenal plans. I was really shocked about their sunglasses. They're in great competition with, no, the ones that cost $400 or $500, you can get there for $75, and it's the same sunglasses.
Right.
Amazing.
Right.
Amazing plans. The so when you pay, say, $62,000, that's forever, right? You're not paying any more. That's it. And then you just you have to pay your monthly or yearly maintenance fees. Can you
right.
deed that, or can you transfer that to your heirs and or do whatever you want with it? Okay.
Yes. Deed is then transferred. It can be sold. It can be leased. It can be inherited. And then your heirs then inherit also the maintenance fees, obviously, which is something that I've always been concerned about. Now that I've bought, one of the concerns is how do you get out of the program is always
okay.
been a concern.
How do you get out of the program? You mean if you want to sell it?
Yeah. Try to get out or... if something happens and then your heirs pick it up, how do they get out if they don't want it? And that's always been one of the problems with timeshare.
Well, I think if you didn't want it, if you just let it go, your heirs could get out of it because they would. But you, of course, you wouldn't want to do that because they would. You know, you'd probably want them to sell it. So that's another good question. Because, gosh, we're almost running out of time already. It's amazing. We have about 15 minutes left. I was going to touch on fractionals just a very little bit. But how do you, so you could actually pass it on to your heirs, or if you wanted to sell this, does Wyndham help you sell it, or you actually would have to privately sell this?
Have to privately sell it. And so what I've seen is that when you go on to these timeshare sales places, you know, I paid $62,000 for my timeshare. I will never get that $62,000 back. That's
okay.
the developer price. I have never. When you go onto these websites, there's thousands of people trying to sell timeshares. And
but
so
you know, if you
wonderful.
Say, oh, I see. So you're kind of trying to get. But if you did, say you'd had 4 weeks at $300 a night, and that's $12,000. You could, yeah. But you're still not getting back your. Yeah, I see what you're. There's just a lot of different ways to use this. I wonder if it made sense for a company to purchase these and then let their people use it around the world. But then I guess you have situations on timing, because I would think you need to book these out ahead of time, right, if you're going to want really high desirable locations in the time that you want to go.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, you book a lot of times you want to book out in advance, and then you're paying the full price. And then there's a little trick that you can do that as you get closer to the timing, if you can find one that's still available with using my 35% off points, then I rebook using that, and then I cancel the other reservation. So
So wait a minute. So you book your the quicker one, but then you rebook. No, you just check it, right? You do it ahead of time, and then
I keep checking as I get closer to see if there's any openings in the room that I want after.
And then you could cancel the one and then use the quicker one.
Use the one that I get 35% off my points, and then I have
cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really good. That's really great. Well, the one thing that I'm hearing that sounds really nice is that you can let other people use it. You know, there's a lot of programs out there sometimes where somebody has to be the owner. It has to be these people. So it's nice that you're able to swap it and let other people take advantage of your points.
Right. And then you have a lot of these places, you have to pay housekeeping fees. Like with RCI, you have to pay housekeeping fees when you have a week. They ask a lot of places. But many of the RCIs, when you're a VIP with Wyndham, you do not have to because your housekeeping is always paid. There's various programs that housekeeping is additional. But when you're in the VIP program that I'm in, I don't ever pay housekeeping fees.
Well, what if you don't belong to Wyndham or Marriott or any of these? Can you go to RCI directly and buy points?
I don't know about that.
Okay, but that's just a question.
I know that Wyndham has got the rental program, and so they put out there for you to be able to, you know, that this is available now, and then you go in and you can rent directly from Wyndham as far as rental goes.
And then they also have other properties that if they're not available, if they're all booked up, you can go to other hotels and maybe get discounts as part of your point package?
That's my Wyndham Rewards program. Where I have a count on all of these different hotels and can book through them. And then there's a points program that I get for booking there, and then the points I can use in other things, for cars. I can even get them for gift cards or for a gift card of American Express for cash even. I can redeem my points for cash.
Oh, okay. So would you, with right now, gosh, on the time, you know, the fractional ownerships, I'm basically going to have to just put out there that fractional ownerships is kind of, you do own part of that property. You're going to go into a fractional, for example, in Hawaii, you're allowed to have six fractionals. So the same six, you can have six different owners, well, not owners, six different months split up, 2 months split up. And different people can own that under a fractional ownership. On the mainland and a lot of the other 48 states, typically it's about 12 owners or different entities can do this. People can set things up just in an LLC, or you'd want to talk to your attorney. That's when you're really getting in and you're buying properties, and it's good, but that's buying one property. That's a fractional ownership set up a lot differently than what we've been discussing with timeshares. But I did want to mention that because we said we were going to talk about fractional ownerships a little bit today, and we're running out of time. So that is a completely different animal, so to speak, than timeshares, but it's the fact that you are sharing ownership. So back to timeshares now, because this has been great. You've given us a lot of information. Somebody's listening and wants to check out timeshares, would you say, I mean, we're not pitching any certain companies, but you know a lot about it. Would you say that Wyndham's, the Marriott's, best way to go that way or get in? And how would they do research to figure out where they want to go?
Well, we listen to both because we've been pitched on the Marriott, Wyndham. After we bought Wyndham, we ended up being pitched on the Marriott and the Hilton because now we were interested in to see what the others were. And I believe some of the Wyndhams are mid. I mean, they're really nice properties. They're very comfortable. They buy out a lot of the older properties, and then they fix them up, and then. But they aren't as. I believe the Hiltons and the Marriotts are a little higher end, so it depends on what type of property you actually want and the pricing. I actually like Wyndham. I like the locations. Because that's what I bought, so I'm used to them.
Yeah.
I've been inside a couple of the Marriotts and the Hiltons, and I'm like, oh, those are beautiful. They're pretty much high end on some of their properties. So And I'm not quite understanding their program as well because I only sat through the one-hour presentation, and it wasn't quite the same as the Wyndham, and so I was trying to wrap my head around the understanding of it. I've had years to try to understand the Wyndham program better, and so I'm not quite sure. But I would definitely be looking through various programs before buying.
And it makes I think it would be a good idea, too, to see if there's a way to know if those maintenance fees are ever capped or if they can only go up a certain percentage a year or if they have reserves like we need to have in condo associations, you know, when they tipped for upkeep, if they have situations like that, too, where there's like a reserve pool. I'm not sure how they mathematically map it out. It would be nice if there's some type of cap, you know. But so I guess there's a lot of... No cap?
There is a reserve pool, and there's no cap.
Wow. Okay.
They usually remodel every 5 years or so. At least Wyndham does. 5 to 7 years they're remodeling the units. And there is a reserve, and it's fully reserved, just like any condo association that you would see here in Hawaii. I see their budget. I know how the monies go through, and there is a full reserve.
Okay, that's good to know. Well, I tell you, I'm really impressed that they own RCI now because I've known other people that have owned timeshares over the years and some of the old-timey ones that I was mentioning in the beginning where you know, you really are stuck with one location, and then RCI came up and let them, they were able to start swapping their timeshares. So that's really great to know that Wyndham owns RCI now. I'm going to want to check into that point system with RCI. I wonder if you really do have to pay for all the others in order to get that, or if it's more of a system you can plug into, or discounts, or kind of like vouchers, you know, or credit coupons, so to speak. So this has been great. We're almost out of time. Do you believe it went by that fast?
No.
I'm so glad that you... Very, very quick, yeah. And I'm just so glad you were able to call in and give us a real live examples of... how it works and how you can use it. And so you're using it probably, what, a month a year at least, month and a half, right, I would think?
Well, because when we go to the mainland, I can use it for around three weeks. And then when we usually travel around 3 to 3.5 weeks, maybe sometimes 4 on the mainland, and then we'll have enough points to do an inner island also.
Okay.
So that's really... pushing 500,000 points, especially when a Hawaii vacation is around 200-something minimum.
Yeah, that's really...
I usually do the Hawaii vacation at the last minute, so I get my 35% off, and then the mainland ones I'm doing in advance, and then I try to go at the last minute and see if there's any openings, and if there's one available of the same type of room, then I will book that one and cancel my other one simultaneously. And I can't do that online because I can't book one and cancel at the same time. So I call in, and the girls in customer service, they'll do it. Because if I cancel one and then somebody else online is grabbing that open one, then I'm...
Then you're in trouble, right.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. That makes sense. No, it makes sense, and I would think that there's, you know, peak weeks, peak seasons, and, you know, I've gone through some of the presentations over the years, and it's kind of like it seems like if you don't do it then, they don't want to do it later, and I feel like it's very important for everybody to do your due diligence, you know, and be able to take your documents and look through it and find out everything before you commit on the dotted line. So I wonder if people can call and just get a lot of information mailed to them from different companies and see, kind of dig through and see who's the best and what the best is. It's definitely much, much nicer than renting in a hotel room. You know, these facilities have kitchens and units. It's like a home away from home, really.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's totally it's like a totally different way of traveling. When my husband and I first got married, we road tripped, which is fun, and we would just go from point A to point B, and then we would get a hotel room real quick, cheap as can be, and spend the night. And then the next morning we would hop in the car, we're going back off to the next place we were going to, and spend the whole day, and then like at 10 o'clock at night we're out looking for another hotel to stay at, and then by 8 in the morning we're back out and, you know, ready to go. So it was cheap travel, and we were on the road and moving. Now, basically, we're in one location, and we buy all our food. We get off the plane. We go to Costco or something. We buy all our food for the week, and we prepare lunches, and we travel with our food with us, and we can go hiking, and we're spending a lot less money, one, on food. But now we're more at a point where you're stable, and then you're going over here for this day, coming back, then over here for that day.
It's like really having
back.
Your home in a way there. Because kind of,
right.
Well, that's
right.
A quick, oh, we've got like 4 minutes left, and then the show ends. This goes by so fast. So, and thank God about Google now. You can Google so much information, timeshares and fractional ownerships. Can you use that as a tax write-off? Does it count as a second home? Like with a second
no.
home, you can write off
I
the
do
interest?
You can write out. They do break down the real estate taxes, so you can write off your real estate taxes, but no.
What about
it's not
the payments? So when you paid $62,000, is that a write-off?
No, I wish. No.
Oh, really?
Not a write-off. Nothing in there was a write-off that I know of when I talk to tax people. And,
okay.
And also, but so when you start renting out the unit, now you're going to be having rental. They're going to be giving you a 1099, especially if you use the program with Wyndham. They will send you a 1099 for the rent.
When you rent it out?
Yeah, if you use their rental program.
Okay.
Now you're into rental. Now you're going to be into rental taxes and everything.
Okay. So that is very good to talk to your CPA, a tax accountant, before you really get into a lot with this. You know, I guess it really depends on lifestyle and what your schedule is, and if you have planned vacations or not planned vacations, and what the availability is. You know, it's still sounds like it could be a really good program long term if you know you're always constantly going to vacation. You know, because you figure if you are spending, you know, if you're going to go a month a year, you're going to spend quite a lot. Most people may go a week, 10 days, right? By the time you pay for everything, if you pencil it out, it still could work.
I calculated out, okay, I paid $72,000, I paid 70-some thousand dollars or whatever it was, $79,000 total, divided by how many years that I'm still going to be hopefully alive. And then how much the maintenance fees are a year and what kind of travel we're doing and is it where, you know, are we paid, you know, what kind of, you know, place we're staying at,
right,
and how much that would have been if we didn't have these points. And, you know, like I said, a lot of places are $350 a night here in Hawaii. But when you start
right.
traveling on the mainland, I'm using a lot less points. And they're
right,
just as nice.
Still, yeah.
Yeah. And they've got some great locations. So.
Fantastic. Wow. Well, we're just about – thank you so much for coming on and sharing that with us.
Oh, another thing. Let me tell you real quick. We paid – I mean, when you start buying timeshare and you've got these kinds of money that you're putting out – and then they want to put you on a payment plan, that can be a little tough also. So we ended up paying cash for ours. So we are totally out of anything except for the maintenance fees, and it's a lot more comfortable. When you start paying for this much money and you start paying monthly
fees payments.
Plus maintenance fees and everything, it can get kind of heavy. Yeah. So you got to watch your payments and how they put you when you buy these things.
That makes sense, too, and good to see if that could be written off, you know, depending on how it goes.
Yeah, when you start paying interest now on these things, maybe that's why I got, because I paid cash. When you start paying interest and you got payments, I would that would be tax deductible. I would think
that would be good to talk to your accountant about that and see. Wow.
Yeah.
Any last-minute comments you want to make about it? Are you happy you did it?
Overall, we're happy we did it. It's now a totally different lifestyle that we have of traveling. We still want a road trip periodically, but we haven't done that because we have so many points now that we have to use a year.
That's true. It forces you to use it.
We can't use all the points sometimes. It's like, what am I going to do with all these points? And I can take the points at the end of the year if I don't use them and put them into RCI. And then I have 3 years from the date that I put them in. But now my same points... now I have to pay the RCI exchange fee when I do use them in RCI.
Each time or just the 1 year, every year?
No, each time. Every time I do an exchange. So if I want to use them, if I want to use 50,000 points, say, I have to pay for the exchange fee. So if
50,000
is 1 week, then 1 week exchange fee is 197.
Okay.
And if I put, you know, if I put 200,000 points in there, I have to use those 200,000 points within 3 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's also extension programs in Wyndham, but you have to do it within a certain time period. Like, I have to do it within the first 6 months of my use year. I can put it into what's called the pool, and that extends my points for another 2 years, and I have to pay to put it in there. But I don't know 6 months into the year whether or not I'm going to be able to use my points.
That makes sense. Well, the 197, the transfer fee, exchange fee, is that every time? So if you wanted to do it four times in a year, you're going to pay $197 for the week each time?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Wow.
Also,
I think it's...
They have different exchange fees if I only use the points program for a couple nights. It'll be less than the $197.
Interesting.
But one way or another, if I put my points into RCI, I'm going to then extend the points, but I'm also going to be paying fees every time I use it. And then I have the new year coming up, and now I have a new 500,000 points. So now I have 500 new points, and then I have whatever I put into RCI. So now I have more points to use.
Oh, and you can't transfer it to the – you have to put it to RCI if you do. You lose it if you don't transfer it?
Right. I would if it's not – like my use year goes from January to December, and by December 31st, if I still have points left, I need to either put them into RCI – which is a free exchange for me, to put them in there, a free deposit, or lose them.
Okay.
So RCI extends them. But now once they're in RCI, now when I want to use them, I have to pay exchange fees.
Okay, it makes sense.
Even if I use them at my own Wyndham. So I can still get a Wyndham property in RCI that would normally not have cost me.
Then you're paying exchange fees.
Now I'm paying exchange fees. But at least it's my way. It's an extension.
Right. That's good, and then you could sell it too. I mean, some of that.
Yeah,
so.
I could use those points, and I could say, I could have a friend that wants to go someplace, and I just charge my friend the exchange fee also. But yeah,
that's awesome. No, that sounds really good. Sounds fantastic. Well, thank you. Right, we're at the end of the show, and again, fractional ownerships. We only did a little bit up. Thank goodness for Google, not to say, but there's a lot of good information here on timeshares. And I appreciate you coming on, Michelle. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.